eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. You know, in Bible college, there was a guy I knew who was around my same class, and he was a soccer player, and he had actually had a tooth knocked out, and I didn't realize it until we had class photo day, which one of his goals was, whenever he did that, was to somehow be able to sneak the piece he had, kind of that would have the replacement tooth, you might say. He could just pull that out, and he would try to sneak that out to get in and have a big wide gap then for the two missing teeth he had in the photos. And I know at least one year he was able to successfully do it. But before I kind of get to maybe a more of a discussion on teeth, Psalm 3 ends up being an interesting psalm. It's kind of a moves us in a couple ways, we might say, two or three different ways that we're going to start to see throughout the Psalms. And the first is it's a psalm that gives us the context of what the psalm is about. Again, the intro discusses that this is a psalm of David written when he flees from Absalom, his son. You can find that story in 2 Samuel chapter 15. It really begins at verse 13 and 14. It says this, a messenger reported to David, the Israelites are pledging their loyalty to Absalom. So David said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, we must get away at once if you want to escape from Absalom. Hurry, or else he will soon be here and defeat us and kill everyone in the city. And it's a fascinating read then all the way through definitely 2 Samuel 17 as well, when he kind of gets away, but then ultimately the resolution continues to that through the conflict that continues. You have David, you know, leaving the city, meeting many of his old friends and some unexpected allies that he has. You have him sending back Hushai, his advisor, to go and thwart one of his previous advisors who's now giving Absalom his advice. And then, of course, he runs into Shimei, a Benjamite, with a long-term grudge against him, who begins by showering them with curses and rocks. And the king, of course, restraining Joab, his commander's hand. It's high drama. And it illustrates, in a lot of ways, both the righteousness of David, as well as, many ways, his failures as a father and failures as a leader that are coming to head with his son Absalom. And so definitely encourage you to read that, but we're going to see that more obviously throughout the book of Psalms when we run into these psalms with a backstory, you might say. Another thing that happens in Psalm 3 is really this shift that maybe would be compared from Psalm chapter 1 and 2, where Psalm 1 we have the righteous man firmly planted. In Psalm 2 you have the son who now stands under the king's authority, or God's authority, pardon me, the anointed one, and you have these psalms of righteousness, of flourishing, of power and authority. And in chapter 3 you begin to see that it doesn't all come up roses for the righteous. You begin in chapter 3 to see that there's going to be adversaries and difficult situations that the psalmist will face, and how they then communicate that to God. Again, I like what Derek Kidner in his commentary says. He says, to be in a minority is itself a test of nerve, more so when the minority is shrinking. And you see that many are rising against me. And even if you hear this language, you'll recognize this in the intro music to this podcast. This is, again, Brian Sylvay and his rendition of Psalm 3, which I really love. And you see this, many are rising against me. How many of my are my foes? You see in verse 6, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me. And so we understand that David is presenting himself as being sort of in the minority now. And with his son Absalom, he had really won the people's favor and the people's hearts over. And so David was in a tough place. But I love verse 5 as sort of the middle verse of this. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. That the trust we have in God allows us, even in the midst of difficult situations, to trust that God will sustain us, and that we will be able even to achieve rest in these circumstances. And so we really see this second shift in the Psalms of again, it's difficult. And finally, the third thing is, and maybe this gets us around to the teeth, verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. I'm going to say this, if you're not really comfortable with that kind of language, you're not really going to be comfortable with the book of Psalms. And I say comfortable, I tease it, the Psalms doesn't really care about your comfort. And it's interesting to think of the context of this, because we know again that David is crying out with a situation with his son Absalom. Surely he doesn't expect God to strike his son on the cheek and to break his own teeth, and yet is that what he expects? It's interesting when we get into this language, because these psalms that contain what many people call them precatory language, this idea that you are calling for God to do something. In the New Testament, it's the sons of thunder, Boanerges, James and John, asking if they can call down fire upon a city that rejects Christ. And you see this in sort of the language in the Old Testament psalm of saying, do justice against the enemies. But it uses specific language. Striking, breaking the teeth, as we'll see later on in the Psalms, breaking the arms. Literally all the way later on, dashing the heads of their infants, of the enemies, against the ground. It's violent stuff. Now, Bonhoeffer would say that we really only know how to pray that as Christ would pray the Psalms, as Christ is the one who then is the one who can execute just judgment on the nations. And I certainly understand that, but is there not a sense in which when we pray, we need to beg God to deal with injustice, with unrighteousness, with evil? I think we have to. And again, the call is that God would be the one who would do this and appeal to him, not, and David again showed great restraint, both in the case with Shimei, as well as what he was hoping would be the outcome with Absalom, that he could save and be reconciled to his son with the commands that he had given his troops. It wouldn't happen that way, but that's what he sought. And so again, just a few of those observations when we come to Psalm 3. That again, we're moving into where we're going to start having some backstory to these psalms. We're going to continue to see the challenges of the righteous. Yes, we flourish like a tree. No, we're not blown away at the strong wind. God sustains us, but it is through many challenges and through many troubles. And ultimately, again, we have the imprecatory language coming in that I encourage you to begin wrestling through with your own faith and how you use that in your own prayer. Again, I hope this has been encouraging to you, and look forward to sharing with you again next week. Have a blessed day. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too, with joyful songs.